Welcome to this online interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our very special guest of honor today is Mr. Jan Barbaru. He's the CEO and founder of Autonomy, and he's based in New York, USA. First and foremost, Jan, very welcome to this interview.
Thank you, Bo. That's a pleasure to be here.
Likewise, likewise. Good to see you. First and foremost, as I always allow my interviewees to give a little bit of a rundown on how they got into this business. How come you are where you are? How come you're not working in a bank or something else? Why are you in Autonomy?
Yes, I'm gonna start with where I'm at physically. So I'm currently in Singapore, so based in New York, but traveling the world quite a bit. You know, as you know, this it's a global community these days.
Yeah.
To retrace back a little bit about myself, my background, I'm actually French national, grew up in France, in Marseille, and moved to the US in early 2000. So spending about 25 years in New York. A lot of what I've done in my career has been to focus on commodities trading, risk management, and other type of supply chain financing. So really looking at applied financial services to help logistics, maritime, and so forth at a number of banks, brokerage firm, international, French, European. And right around 2017, I joined an innovation group, started to get involved into a lot of the emerging technology for fintech and insurtech, insurance technology. And I discovered this fascinating world of parametric insurance. I'll explain in a minute.
Yeah.
COVID hit. I was a little bit tired of my 9-to-5, and I took the leap of faith. So I created Autonomy in 2021.
Okay, cool. Well done. Well done, you. What is Autonomy? How can you explain to our viewers what do you actually do in Autonomy for the logistics companies, I should say?
Yes. So Autonomy is what we call a parametric insurance platform for cargo logistics.
Okay.
So to go back to the genesis of why I created this this company, COVID was one of the catalysts, right? So the kind of generating events where the supply chain got dislocated. There was a lot of stranded airports, ports, logistics that really disrupted.
Yeah.
And I started to investigate. So it turned out that disruptions and cargo delays are actually historically excluded and rejected in insurance contracts, right? Marine insurance actually doesn't pay out for delays of cargo and disruptions.
Right.
So I had the idea of really bridging that gap that really represents about $50 billion US of financial losses every year, of uninsured losses, right? And not only are we bridging that gap, which is cargo delays, but we make it completely technology driven, right? So that's why we call it parametric. The only thing that matters for us is the detection of delays. That's the parameter, which is the transit time. So when we essentially connect to all the ocean carriers and airlines, airway bills, bill of lading, and so forth, when we detect the delay automatically, then we can actually pay out the customers. No question asked, no insurance claims, no proof of loss. Everything is very transparent and speedy, right? So we really want to actually bring something different to the customers in the industry.
It sounds like a really novel idea. I mean, I've never heard about a delay insurance before. I only know that many insurance companies, they're always the small print that they're never responsible when it gets to it. But to have a delay insurance, that sounds like a dream, I would say, for many a logistics company. Who would be your customers mainly? That would be the ones shipping with the airline or with the shipping line, wouldn't it? I mean, like a freight forwarder.
Exactly. So we have two types of customers. Probably between 75% and 80% of our book are freight forwarders. So logistics, for the mere reason that they're always between a rock and a hard place, right? Between the customers and the shipping lines or the airlines.
That's right.
And when something goes wrong, they're the one that the customer is complaining to. So, really, we're trying to help the industry fluidify a little bit of the financial burden that they're actually suffering, right? So 80% is freight forwarders. The other 20% would be BCOs, right? So
Yes.
shippers, beneficiary cargo owners, the exporters, so to speak.
Yeah.
And so for that matter, we have a lot of success in South America for the perishable export markets, right? So as you can probably imagine, containerized and reefers export and shipping for perishable fruits, flowers, or salmon or any type of other perishable goods, the delays can be disastrous, right? It can
Yeah.
be direct hits, physical damage, but it can be resulting in penalties and loss of business, reputational risk, and so forth. So we've been getting a lot of interest in that field. Interestingly, we don't focus on perishable only. We're really open to all the general cargo in the space. So namely, high tech, CPG, can be pharmaceuticals, life science, aviation, aerospace, automotive, and some also hard commodities, energy, project cargo, and so forth.
Yeah, that's really interesting. It's funny you mentioned perishables in South America because my residence nowadays is in Chile. And I know firsthand that some of the cherry exports from there were very much delayed. We had one of the giant container lines vessel stopped in the Pacific for, I don't know, a month or so. I think it was declared a total loss or whatever, but certainly a huge delay in arrival. So I think the product of yours seems to be manna from heaven. How would you be approached? I mean, you accept what do you need to provide to you in order to get this insurance cover? Because of course there's no free lunch. You pay a fee for that, isn't it? How do you structure that?
Yes, so before I respond to this technical questions, I'm gonna jump back in into what you mentioned about Chile. So I'm in
Oh yeah.
Santiago in a couple of weeks. I don't
Oh
know if
yeah.
you live there, but we'll be glad to socialize in person. I'll be in Las
Definitely.
Condes that you know pretty well, I'm
Oh
sure.
yeah. Definitely.
So that would
Very
be
kind.
that would be an interesting way of to reconnect. And Mercer Toro, not naming the company,
Of course not.
was pretty much 80% of our discussions in 2025. The
Yeah.
other 20% would be the Trump tariff anyway. So no, so yeah, going back to the product, I want to retrace back in terms of the product design and how we actually thought about how we deploy this technology. So it's all about data, right?
Yeah.
It's all about big data. We collected in excess of 1 billion data points in freight, aviation, maritimes, port terminals, and so forth to create the whole algorithmic pricing model, statistical pricing, right? So
Yeah.
we know that the Port of Singapore is best in class, and Port of Klang, which is not too far, has a lot of operational delays, and Port of LA, Long Beach, is also very outdated in many ways. So we have dynamic pricing and rating of certain trade lanes, certain shipping lanes, certain ports, sometimes airports as well, in order to make sure that we don't lose our shirts overnight.
Yeah.
But we also give benefits to the customer. If it's a trade lane that doesn't have much delays, we're going to be cutting the rates quite a bit, right? So yeah, so our premium rates ranges between 0.5 points to several points. In general, you want to think about 1.5%.
Okay.
That would be the gist of it. And people can actually sign up online, right? So we are what we call an insurtech, insurance technology firm.
Okay.
So you can actually go online on our platform, get a quote in a few milliseconds, and get a insurance certificate in 45 seconds, right? It's
Wow.
all automatic and digital.
Wow. And I know I'm a little bit older than you, and when I think back to my young days, I mean, this whole new world seems totally different from what I was used to back in the day. But this is very interesting, and I am quite confident that many would be very interested in this because, I mean, delays, and especially you mentioned the freight forwarder, we are the middleman. Everybody jumps on us. The shipper jumps on us, and blame the logistics company every time, right? So
Exactly.
you certainly helped to alleviate that problem. How behind autonomy? You are the CEO and founder. Do you have colleagues? Do you have how do you There's only so much one man can do, even you travel a lot. Do you have colleagues? How do you structure your own the company, so to speak?
Yes, we are a team of 15 people right now, growing to about 20. Still pretty early stage in our life. We just closed a round of funding, our Series A, throughout the summer. So we're rapidly scaling, we're hiring people. As luck would have it, we're actually hiring a LATAM salesperson, business development and sales in Latin America. So Chile might be an area, maybe Peru, Mexico. If you know anyone, or maybe one of your readers, listeners, I would be glad to talk to them. And then we have talented engineers, data scientists, operations specialists. We have also like some, insurance specialists for capital management, and also other people in Asia Pacific, where we have the whole Chinese market and Southeast Asian markets that we're addressing right now.
That's very, very impressive. And how do you feel the interest? I mean, I know you're relatively new and still developing, but how do you feel the interest from the market? Do you feel that people are getting their eyes up for your product?
Yeah, so the first reaction from freight forwarders is it's too good to be true,
Yeah,
right? So
exactly.
it's probably what you thought about. That was the reaction 2 years ago, and here we are 2 years later. We're still there and growing and servicing more and more customers. We have what we call claim testimonials. So we've been paying claims. People having they're very satisfied with our customer service because we pay fast, no question asked, that kind of stuff. And it's all about really redirecting to the customer satisfaction, because as you said, insurance is very notorious for fine prints, finding an excuse of not paying you. So we don't want to be one of them, right? So we want to be putting a fresh look at insurance in the cargo and logistics space. So it's all about, really looking at the customer's needs, before looking at profitability.
It sounds to me like you are certainly a company that is about to shake the foundations of the otherwise entrenched insurance companies with their old structures. So I think they should beware. I'm very happy to support you with this interview here because I think it's just what's needed to shake the conservatives, so to speak. How do you,
Definitely.
when you look into to the future now, there's now talk again about the Suez Canal starting to open, which means hopefully shorter transit time, no longer south of Africa. There's still some war going on in Ukraine, of course, but if the Suez Canal opens, hopefully the shipping lines can meet their target as they announce no delays. How do you see in general, are the shipping lines full of it when they say we reach 90%, or what are the facts on the ground? Can they live up to their scheduled arrival time? So how is your feeling on this?
Well, so we run, pretty quantitative statistics around, global disruptions. So it turned out that late 2023, so about 2 years ago, the average delay in number of days in maritime shipping was about 6.1 days. Is now at 9.5 or 9.7, right? So it's nearly a 50% increase in nearly, 18 to 24 months. Honestly, the trend is actually it's on the up and up, right? We're not seeing an improvement, right? So we think we're going to get to the 10 days delay on average, if anything. The Suez Canal is good news, if anything. I'm happy for customers, not having to go, around the Good Hope or whatnot. But I think it's just going to be resolving some localized potential delays. The global supply chain has been shaken up. Obviously the US-China war has been one of the biggest disruptors, and therefore it doesn't seem that's going to be resolved, anytime soon. Geopolitics is an issue, climate risk is an issue, cyber attacks are an issue, port congestions, you name it, right? So it's not this one, potential resolution that's going to be resolving everything. Now, when you mentioned 90%, I was discussing this exact statistic this morning with one of the liners that still cannot believe that's what the other liners is claiming, right? I think they We live in the world that where increasing trade exchange, from the e-commerce and the commodities and the goods is just increasing by the minute. Operational efficiencies and technologies has to catch up, right? It's not just like a snapshot and you think you can actually get it in a few months. It's just a moving target, right? So technology has to catch up. It doesn't mean that we're going to be resolving everything. So I think we're here to stay, right? Disruptions, delays are inherent part of shipping and logistics. We're providing a very smart way to protect your financial losses against those unexpected. So that's what we're vouching for.
I think it sounds very interesting to me, and a little bit scary when you mention 10 days. I mean, the longest transit time perhaps should be 35, 45 days from Asia to Europe, just for an example. And 10 days out of it's like a quarter delay every time. I mean, this is not, then they should be realistic, the lines, and tell the customer that the transit time is 52 days instead of 40 days. Be upfront about it, but it seems to me that most of them are not. And of course, the forwarder, he goes to his customer and tells what he's told, I guess. So, yeah, you can help in that.
And I was going to say this is tug of war, right? It's a very touchy topic, like the sensitive discussion that you don't want to have. But when it comes to negotiating your large, containers TEU contract with a certain suppliers in Germany or whatnot, and they ask you like a certain SLA, well, you want to guarantee something, right? Because otherwise the next liner is going to be, just next door waiting for the contract.
That's
So
it.
I think it's more of a negotiating tactics and really having a differentiating service that you can offer. That's really the power of it.
And I guess some of the lines now they sail together in a club, so you use this carrier or that carrier, they're using the same vessel.
Yeah,
So
exactly.
I guess they are not a master in their own house, so to speak, I guess. But listen, Jan, this is really I like this product. I think it'll be very interesting. A lot of our viewers are indeed freight forwarders. So I want to say formally many, many thanks to you for this interview.
Thank you very much for having me. That was a pleasure.
Yeah, likewise, Jan. And to all our listeners, viewers, and readers from around the world, this was yet another great interview by Project Cargo Weekly. Our special guest of honor today has been Mr. Jan Barbaroux. He's the CEO and founder of Autonomy. He's based in New York, USA. And he and his company really has a very interesting product, I would say, to many a freight forwarder and a line out there who has problems meeting the targets concerning transit time. It's a novel idea, a new idea, and I think it sounds too good to be true, but it seems to be true. So do contact him if you have any questions. For me and Project Cargo Weekly, thank you very much, and until next time. Bye bye.